Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Boston Strong, One Boston. Slogans like these helped rally Bostonians together after last year's marathon bombing. But our next guest suggests the idea of One Boston might not resonate quite the same way across all parts of the city, particularly in those communities regularly plagued by violence. Jamal Crawford is a Roxbury-based community activist and the creator and editor of Blackstonian, a news and commentary publication and website representing Boston's Black community. If you go to Blackstonian.com, you'll see a number on the front page, 235. That's the number of shootings in Boston since last year's marathon. Jamal Crawford, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us why you put this number, 235 shootings in Boston since last year's marathon, on your website.
Well, you know, obviously when we witnessed the marathon thing, I'm a newsie. So, you know, generally while I'm working throughout the day, I have on CNN, and I, like most people across the country, were shocked when this news broke, particularly at the marathon, which I have attended, you know, several times in the past. But then it became to me kind of clear that the way that the coverage of this tragedy was taking place seemed to be different, where somehow things that happened to white people or things that happen in quote-unquote white places where violence is not supposed to occur, that it's seen as this affront to everything that is sacred and holy. Whereas in communities like the one that I live in, Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan, not so much. Mm-hmm. And it seemed as what I've now begun calling the regular violence.
Mm-hmm. This stuff is violence that we just sort of accept.
Right, because it's supposed to happen, and it happens in those places, and it happens to those people. And so that's where, you know, the rhetoric behind this One Boston, Boston Strong kind of falls very flat. Because, you know, for a long time, my people in my community have been suffering with a problem that, you know, we don't get the same amount of attention and not just attention, but sympathy and empathy.
I really take your point, and I think it's fair to point out that there's arguably too little outrage about the violence, the shootings that plague your neighborhood and a couple of other neighborhoods in the city. But what do you say to the argument that the marathon bombings were different in the following way, that it was the kind of violence that was aimed at not just an individual, but the whole city, the tradition, a holiday?
I don't know if I buy into that. I think that when 235 people are shot in the city of Boston, isn't that an attack on the city? And aren't those lives worth something? And, you know, some of those people are shot and killed. Some of them are just shot and wounded. But it's not just them. The community is traumatized. Certainly their immediate family and friends are traumatized. You know, I myself got shot 10 years ago. April 28th will make 10 years when I got shot. And I'm still not over it. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a level of trauma and healing that hasn't happened. And the attention is not so much on media coverage, because the media does cover it because it's sensational. But what we'd like to see is a systemic type of approach to bringing solutions in a substantive form to these issues. And there's people who have ideas on how to stem the violence, but they're not heard and they're marginalized, much like the people who are marginalized, who are the victims of violence.
Were you encouraged at all? We have a new mayor in this city. Marty Walsh made violence in the city, in neighborhoods like yours, his first official meeting, and his, you know, the number one priority in his administration. Did that encourage you at all?
It did, actually. I've actually been pleasantly surprised by Marty Walsh coming out of, you know, a 20-year just being pushed to the side and not heard and listened to. And I think that Marty Walsh has come to the table with open ears and an open mind. And I think at this point, that's all you can ask. Now, we've already seen the gun buyback. You know, that's met, you know, critique and praise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we need to give him a chance. He's in his first couple of months, and I am hopeful and I am optimistic in the direction that it's going, because he seems open.
So in your mind, have we become desensitized to violence in these neighborhoods that are primarily populated by people of color in Boston?
Yeah, there's several types of desensitization. There's certainly the type that goes on in my community where we live through it. You hear a gunshot and you just might, you know, text your friend, wow, gunshots just went off on my street. But there's no, you know, it's not even that alarming at this point. Then there's the type of people outside of my community who never go to my community, don't know anybody there, or know very few, their interaction is very limited. And when they see it on the 6 o'clock news, they might instantly, you know, switch up, just another shooting, and switch back to Family Feud or whatever else. So I think that there's that level. And then also, too, there is what I would call an administrative type of desensitization, where the city's response to the Amy Lord case was quite different than the cases that happened in Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan. And I think that the way our society, the city of Boston, and larger picture in America deals with that is simply because of race. And it deals with the devaluation of black and brown lives.
Compare Boston today to the Boston of the days of busing, when communities were really cleaved along racial lines, when there were real expressions of overt racism. I mean, today we've got a black governor in the state house. You've got a state senator in South Boston who's a black Haitian American woman. Haven't we made some progress here?
To me, I would say no. And I think that any progress, which you're alluding to, is really it's because it's superficial. And that stuff doesn't matter. So what if Duvall is the governor and Obama's the president, if black men are being incarcerated at rates higher than ever before? That doesn't have any material benefit for the people and the groups that they represent. Linda Dorsina Forey, the St. Patrick's Day Parade, was she celebrated in that role? Not at first. So, you know, there was some trepidation about her even having that role, because this is supposed to belong to a white Irish man. And how dare this black Haitian woman even be considered to host this? And so much so that Bill Linehan, I think in a masterful display of pettiness, decided to not even attend and went off to Limerick Island. So I think that the attitudes that we would like to say are, oh, those are ancient, archaic. No, I think Archie Bunker is alive and well in Boston.
Well, let's bring it back for just one more question here about the first anniversary of this marathon bombing. Given that we do have a whole city, community, nation even, that is sort of focused on this, what is it that you would like people to keep in mind on this particular day?
Well, once again, is the purpose that we did it, to point out the hypocrisy and the contradiction in this, what we call, you know, the devaluation of black and brown life, where black and brown life is just not held as equal to our white counterparts. What we're calling for is attention to our issues in our community. And the path that we're on right now, which is this rush to incarcerate, it does not work. We've got to hit the streets. We're trying to reprioritize the funding at the state level to get away from that law and order mentality and go more into the programs that we know work. And that is what we believe ultimately will stem the tide of violence. And hopefully soon in this city and in this country, black and brown people's lives can be seen just as important, and the loss of that life just as unacceptable as the loss of white life and tragedies that take place.
All right. Well, that's Jamal Crawford. He's creator and editor of Blackstonian, a news and commentary publication and website representing Boston's black community. Jamal, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Well, we're proud to host voices from all across this city. And tomorrow, we'll be covering the special one-year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing with a special Radio Boston from 2 to 4 o'clock. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Be sure to join us for that tomorrow, right here on Radio Boston.